Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Overseas, yeah, we want to stop. thank Allah for Black Eyed Peas and for Wally Ali. Where's the love gone? And think about it, the images, what they are displayed in churches and throughout the world. We got, this is Block Talk Radio Station coming out of California under the hands of Hameen Muhammad. Thank Allah for this opportunity to come on this Block Talk Radio Station. We pray that we get bigger, writing people to come on, ask questions. We are here to solve an age-old problem of racism that seems like it's not going to go away. And I don't believe it's not going to go away. The ma'am said racism is a dead dog. So we want to put that dog to sleep forever. And that's what it is, dog out to people. Anytime you go in the store and the girl look like you, has your complexion, but when a light-skinned man walks in there with straight hair, blonde hair, he can be nasty. Tobacco could be coming out of his mouth. That girl wants to wait on that person before they wait on you. And then when they do wait on you, they talk to you like you're not needed. Your money don't mean nothing. Excuse me. But when they talk to the light-skinned man, they talk to him with respect and dignity and talk to him honorable. Where did that come from? That coming from that image. That coming from that false idea that God, out of all the people in the world, he picked one son, and he picked it for one particular ethnic group, and that ethnic group is the number one bully of the world. And it comes from that being a bully coming from that image, that God came in my image. I am closer to God than you are. That's what they're saying. And our people are a victim of that, of fear, skin color. So this show here to correct that problem. Reason we can open a business, but our business don't strive or get going good because we've been trained from the plantation never to trust each other, never to work with each other. You got a family. You got family, got 10 and 12 children, all kind of cousins and nephews, but they don't get along, especially when they're asking them out. Why? Because the image in the world is the one who got the straight hair or got the blue eyes or better. As long as that idea is floating around in our community, we're not going nowhere as a people. We think we're getting a deal when we buy from a light-skinned man. We say it like this. I bought this car from an old white lady. Saying, on one hand, you say I bought it from an old white lady, but on the other hand, you're saying I wouldn't buy nothing from a nigger lady. That's what it means. That's the psychological effect of that language. So we thank Allah for this Block Talk Radio Station, where we can get past some of this, where we can get this message out to all the people, no matter what they look like, what color, because nobody stood in line or nobody went shopping for the color they got. God gave them the color that tests all those ones. And see which one word of the prize, God called it, blessing for doing right on this earth, because we all passing through. Allah said, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, in his holy book, Al-Quran, Surah 67, Ayat 1 and 2. Allah says, blessed be he in whose hands is the dominion and all and he is all things, have power. He who created death and life, that he may try which of you is best indeed, and he is exalted and mighty, all for forgiveness. Surely, the one who created us has spoke the truth. We say that's Almighty God, Allah. He said, blessed be in whose hand is the dominion. I mean, he owns everything. He don't say, blessed be in the hands of the dominion that he created Caucasian people to be over the rest of us. He said, he's over all of us. And he said, he have power. He who created death, you can't name nobody on God great. Well, how long, how much money they have? They die. You come in to live to die. And God said death for life. Because most of us come in the world, we didn't know nothing. We was vegetables. We didn't know nothing. We had to learn what we know while we here. Somebody taught us. Somebody in front of us taught us what to do, how to think, how to take care of ourselves. Or we seen somebody, we learned from somebody else how to do all that. The people before us. But we were dead. That he, Allah said, he might try which of you is best indeed. He said, some of you. He said, which of you is best indeed? He tried. The Caucasian had failed the test with his racist sin. He have sold himself on the idea, no matter how wrong he have do us, that nothing going to happen to him. They tell how many the slave owners, so-called slave owners, sat there drinking lemonade and rocked themselves on into another world. Sitting on the what? Sitting on the front porch, watching his slaves, watching the people that he conquered. They say when it fades to like some had to suck all the good look out of them, or they look bad, and say and they put him in the ground less than a day and the next day, because if you keep him out over a couple of days, his skin will be darker than the people he's supposed to be in slave. Mm-hmm. So all these are signs. And Allah told the prophet to read, not the book, but read the signs. Read Allah's creation. The Caucasian man that worked us and made all that money, He lived good while he was on earth. He did what he wanted to do. But when all that came to end, he had to be put in a worse situation than he put us in. Then he had to pay for that. Then those dislike and things he should have said to himself, I wish I had to do it. It's too late. Huh? The punishment coming. But once it's there, it's on them. They got to stay there and take the punch. But we are tonight on the Brock Talk radio station trying to bring some clarity to the creator of this creation, with the help of the creation of this creation. Allah said, which of you is best indeed? And he is the exalted and might, often forgiven. He often forgiven me though. If the person would repent and mend his ways and feel wrong and apologize to the people that he did what he did to, then Allah is often forgiven and most merciful. He often forgiven and he most merciful. So God is the greatest. I see we have Sujar in the queue, and I know he got to go to the master, so we're gonna let him come on and share what he had to say before we go. Oh, he gone already. He left already.
Well, you should let him start off and open up with something.
That's what I'm gonna do. He just come on. I would have did the time I seen him, but he gone. May Allah bless him, have a good work good work at the match that he pretends. So all praise is due to Allah. We're going to keep pulling that lie down. Allah says, oh, I see to drop back. You want to say anything? To drop before you go? Yeah, you do. Let me turn your mic on. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Well, you got it. We want to hear what you got to say. We know you've been studying all day. You got it.
Alhamdulillah. We like to say with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I bear witness and testify that there is only one creator, there is only one God. And bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the Prophet, messenger of Allah, is God's servant. If you like to give all the believers a green of peace, of As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah.
We thank Allah for this, again, for this opportunity. And we pray that Allah bless all of us with the best of health. Praises be to Allah. And bless us with the wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all to pass on this knowledge of this blessing that Allah has given us to the people. Pass it on to the people. Into Allah. Just like to read just a little bit from the Holy Quran right quick. Let me see. Praise be to Allah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. For Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. We're going to start at, let me see something. We're going to start at Surah 21, Ayat 62. They said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. They said, Art thou the one that did this with our gods, O Abraham? He said, Nay, this is done by, this is their biggest one. Ask them if they can speak intelligently. So they turned it to themselves and said, Surely you are the ones in the wrong. Then were they confounded with shame. They said, Thou knowest full well that these idols don't speak. Abraham said, Do ye then worship besides Allah things that can neither be of any good to you, nor do you harm? Fire upon you and upon the things that ye worship besides Allah. Have you no sense? They said, Burn him and protect your gods if you do anything at all. You said, O fire, be thou cool and a mean of safety for Abraham. Then they sought a stratagem against him, but we made them the one that lost most. But we delivered him and his nephew, Lot, and directed them to the land which we have blessed for the nation. And we bestowed on him Isaac and as an additional gift, a grandson, Jacob.
Have you made righteous men of every one of them? Have you made them leaders, guide men by our command? And we send them inspiration to do good deeds, to establish regular prayer, and to practice regular charity. And they constantly serve us and us only. And to Luke, too, we gave judgment and knowledge. And we saved him from the town which practiced abomination. Truly, they were a people given to evil, a rebellious people. And we admitted him to our mercy, but he was one of the righteous. Sallallahu Kadeem, surely Allah speaks the mighty truth. That's what's going on right now today in this world. In these societies, the same thing that was happening back then, you know, pardon and false gods and practicing evil, you know, same thing going on right now. You know, that's what happened back then. You know, so Allah is showing us, you know, how the people get away from God and start worshiping evil, start practicing evil when they don't bring forth the truth. When they fabricate a lie, it just brings about corruption all around them. Everywhere they go, you got corruption, you know. And I mean, it's a funny thing. They got corruption here in America, in this world, but they got the money to go with it. They got the money to go with it. They got the money to justify the corruption, you know. And it's easy for them to drink all night and all day, toast everything they say, all the words, all the lies that they tell. They're able to drink alcohol and have a toast and just glorified and make big and become proud of the wrong that they do. You see, so this is what we are going through. We are here to bear witness to the truth that there is no God but Allah, and righteousness is and truth is what going to stand. Lies and falsehood and corruption is not going to stand. You see, it's going to take hard work. You see, it's not going to be easy. I see that right now. It's not going to be easy. You know, we got to plan it out, and then we got to work our plan. You see. But the plan got to be a plan of righteousness. It had to be a plan of unity and bringing us together, justice, fairness. You know, we can't have plans where it's just one or two people, you know, it just benefit from our effort and what we are doing. It's just one or two people's benefit from it. The rest of us is just hanging on and acting like we're glad and happy to be part of it. We can't have that. We can't have that. You know, it got to be where the righteous truly benefit from it. The righteous have an opportunity to contribute, you know, to whatever good that we are doing, and is able to pass it on to the children. That's the way it got to be. You know, they pass things on to the children, but it's corruption. It's falsehood. You know, so we got to see what happened in the past and don't repeat it. And be able, since we know what's happened in the past, then we're able to tell the truth to our children and our grandchildren. And we're able to show them anytime they repeat or start doing exactly the same thing that we are doing, we can let them know. We say, oh, we did this him before. We know the end results of it. We know how it's going to come out. You know, and be able to help our young people establish a society of righteousness, a God-fearing society, a society of respect for all the different religions. And be able to let other religions survive. You know, we can't be at war against the Christians and against the Jews, against other people that are believers, because they don't practice what we practice, or they do it the way that we do it. You see. We got to have a society where people can be happy. You know, during the time of Prophet Muhammad, I was reading in Islam, the Muslim allowed other religion in Christianity and Judaism and other religion, they allowed them to practice their religion. You know. They also allowed the Christians and the Jews to go to the schools that we had established, the educational system that was established by the Muslims. We allowed them to the children to come in and benefit from it. You know, and everybody got along. We was happy. They say when the Muslim was captured and taken over by the Romans and things, it said that the society, when they, you know, when they took over the land and the area and everything, the Muslim had to leave, and they said that Christians and Jews, you'll see them leaving, but you'll see them crying real tears because the Muslim had to leave, because they had to go. The Romans had taken over, you see, but they had peace, and they were able to practice their religion. They were able to be happy. It wasn't a whole lot of corruption, you know, in the way that the Muslim practiced life, how they was living life. There wasn't a whole lot of corruption, and so they was the Christian and the Jews was picking up on that, and they was happy. The children was happy. You know, everybody was happy. And they said that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon him,
talked to Muslim and they made the head and asked the Muslim to protect the house of worship of the Christians or the Jews in the religious house. It was asked for us, the Muslim, to protect those homes, those houses of worship, not take them over, you know, not run the peoples out and convert, change the church, a cathedral, a house of worship, and change it into a masjid. We wasn't doing nothing like that. You know, so brothers and sisters, that's room for all the different religions, you know, to practice their religion, establish a home in this world, and practice what they learned from the scripture. We call them peoples of the book. They had that opportunity, and we didn't stop them. We as Muslim, we didn't stop them. We didn't block them. So it's only a person that got some out against the Muslim would sit up and tell you a lie that Islam denied the Christian to live a Christian life, or denied the Jews to live a Jewish life. You know, it's just a person that has something against Muslim that would tell that lie. You know, so we was happy. We was happy, you know, because we knew what their practice was giving themselves and submitting to God and being God-fearing, you know. But we just had a unique way. God blessed us with a way of life and how we live. It was unique and it was a blessing. It was a blessing. But even as the Muslim, they got corrupt. They got so corrupt until right today, you see many Muslims is striving, you know, to leave their country, to run from their country. They come here in America, you know, and they didn't have the freedom to practice Islam, to practice their religion. So we, I mean, you know, that's the reality. That's for real. So brothers and sisters, we are telling the Christians to remove all racial images out of worship, any image of anything out of creation, and set that up as God. We asking them to remove these things out of worship and worship God only, you know. And let us all, like the brothers say, let us all get along. Let us get along and be God-fearing, you know. Worship God. We know when a person is lying or when they put forth falsehood, you know. They're going to have the answer for that, because all of us are going to have to go before God. The judgment must happen. I mean, it's for real. It's going to come about, you know. And so we know the law, and they know the law. So praise be to Allah. We thank Allah for this opportunity to say a few words and read something from the Holy Quran, and just talk about the reality
and bear witness to the truth. We came to you in peace. We go leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum. You got it, Brother Agbar. I hope I didn't cut it off.
You all have it. Okay, alhamdulillah. I thought I had it on mute. Alhamdulillah, good talk, Brother Sujah. Alhamdulillah, thank you for that. So all praise is due to Allah. So we're here tonight to clear up the problem that this world has presented us. And we know we have presented a whole lot of things. And we can do as much as Allah allows us to do. And one thing we're allowed to do is point out and warn not only others but ourselves about the evil and the danger of the image. That image got Emmett Till killed, Dr. Martin Luther King, and Malcolm. We can go on and on. It's going to continue because it's evil. That's why I say a white man ain't never killed a black man. An evil man killed a good man. But never a white man ever killed a black man, because you can't use that language, because the word white means pure. If there had been any pure people on this earth, we would never have slavery. We would never have been in the condition that this world is in. We see Congress arguing over what's going on. They want to get rid of Byron, and they want to use his son as a scapegoat. And they want to talk about how weak he is and all that. And they ain't got no proof he did nothing, but you can make up a lie. A lie is a terrible thing. A lie will get you killed. A lie will cause you to lose your family, lose your job, lose your life. A lie can cause all of that. And we living among the people who are the master lie. They got lies stored up in warehouses. So they the master of lies. Then they show you Mission Impossible. And they use that same tactic on us as Mission Impossible, putting one against each other. And they use one that look like each other to go against each other. And the reason it shows you that we are against each other, although we own nothing as a people, and we spend all our money back to the people that own everything. We go to McDonald's or Burger King like this is our place. It's not our place. It's just a place where African-American work and make a small income and minimum wages, and they barely making it. And you're going to go trust your stomach to people who don't have no motivation than to take a job that don't pay you 40 hours. They work them up to 36 hours, 37. And to retire, you had to be working 40 hours a day. So they came up with all these tricks. You got to be working up to 40 hours. They let you work up to 39. They let you work up to 35 hours. Then they send you home. Make sure you don't get no retirement. This is nothing but evil, evil in progress. So even the movie stars complaining about the show they made millions of dollars for, but they didn't get nothing but some crumbs off the table, little or nothing. And then they said something about the producers, they're going to get blackballed, won't be able to get a job. So these are the things. This is what that evil does. That's what that image does. That image do all these damages. Tell you about, the image tell you about we supposed to love each other, and they show very little love at all. The courts the same way. They talk about justice. They got a woman standing out front with a blindfold in front of the courthouse, And they talking about justice, giving justice. And they show you that justice is blind, supposed to be blind, but let you go in there. You go in there for defending yourself from a Caucasian man, and they steady trying to find you guilty, and the Caucasian is seen on the camera starting everything. But they want to help him and hurt you. They're going to keep being like that because that's the image. That's why it's so important to get rid of the image. Then it's important for all of us to speak out and let the people know, all our Caucasian brothers know, that they've been wrong in calling themselves white, that God came their image. They have no proof of that. That's been a lie that hurted them because they have made them some of the ugliest people in the world. When you look at Black Wall Street and all, and Rosemary, look at all these communities that we have, and they came and took them and tore them up because we were doing good in them neighborhoods. Then they turn around and say, we can't take care of ourselves. We like a coon. If you start feeding a coon, and you continue how to feed the coon. The coon one time was an animal that took care of fish and hunt for itself. But if, now you don't start feeding a coon, now the king coon is dependent on you. So they call you a coon. So all these things have happened to us. And then we have leaders that are supposed to be dressing these things, supposed to be telling us to do for ourselves, to support our community. And then the leaders themselves should be the first one that goes in the member community who own a business. He should be the first one in there because that that member is putting money in the market that will support him, to support his way of life. And he don't go in there and buy nothing from that person that goes to his place of worship. Then what that say about the leader? The leaders are saying one thing and doing another. The leaders is not sincere. They're not real. If they were real, so leaders, they would be there with the dressed nice, sitting in that person's business, or they'll show the people at the masjid, look, this is how I use to killing my clothes. I use nothing but true detergent. That's what they would say. But we got leaders can't make that thing. They can tell you how the Whopper House tastes. They can tell you how what was on the menu at the Whopper House, but they can't tell you what's the menu at the Muslim business. They can't do that. So why? They don't go. But they want to stand before the believers and tell them what Allah said, what the Quran said, and they don't follow nothing but they suggest for you to do it. So we in that day and time, the truth, Jesus said, we'll set you free. But we know it's a lie that enslaved us. A lie has caused us to be false to ourselves. Till we get those kind of leaders who are sincere, because the young man that I be with, he said that we ain't got nothing. And then we got to go to these people's businesses, and the Chinese people don't want you in there. The Jew don't want you in his place. But they come in all they business in all our neighborhood, throughout our neighborhood. Our donut place belongs to the Chinese. The breakfast, their people don't serve nothing but breakfast. They business, the Mexican business stay open 20. Ain't nothing but Mexican working in there. Ain't no African American working in there. I remember a time when that happened. We would get the NAACP and pick at that place because nothing with Caucasian people were working there. So that's what I'm saying. Our leaders gonna have to step up. They gonna have to give the jail that you want to glorify Allah and glorify the messenger what he brought to us. Huh? But on the second half, encourage the young people to go in the business. Then and tell the young people, we're going to support your business. The members of this community, we're going to support your business. So that's what we do. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. So we see the problem. The solution always would come with the problem. The solution that we have to speak. spend our money with each other. You know, people look very silly. We spending our money with them and get nothing back. And get nothing back but hell. Bills paying that. So all praise is due to Allah. We are here tonight, and we are here to raise the level of understanding what we all need to be doing to make this world a better world for all of us to live in. And we see the problem and the solution to our problems that have been given. That we have to learn how to get back working together. Until we learn how to get back working with each other, socializing with each other, being kind to each other, and then we can build a community. Yeah, we know what we need. We need everything that these people offered our children. Skating rink, bowling alleys, play basketball courts and all that stuff. We need to be providing that for all our, for the people that want to do what's right with their life. But Satan got those things way out there, and you invite you to come in there, and they got alcohol and everything in it. Like the angel said, who can go right in a place like that? Who can go right going into a club dancing and hearing 50 music? What child you know going to go right? What human being can go right, stay on the right course, going into a place like that? Can't go right. Ain't no right in that. Allah says stay away from Satan, showing him, stay away from the evil they offer you, and then you can save yourself. But you're not going to do that. You're not going to save nothing. Huh? So all praise is due to. So anybody else would like to say anything, all you got to do is master one, come into the queue, and we will cut your mic on. Anybody would like to say anything, it's match one, come into the queue. So we got the truth. Huh? No one has the truth. We got the truth. Well, my wife was telling me about that Christians don't eat pork. And the Seventh-day Adventists, they don't eat pork. They're good people. They fast. But as long as they got any false idea about Jesus and Christmas and any other of that false stuff, they're going to be misled. They're going to be falling off the track. So all praise is due to Allah. You learn in the environment you go in to learn. If the environment ain't got no learning in it, you can't get no learning. Okay, well, bring Brother Muhammad Sharif up. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muhammad Sharif.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Yes, sir. We hear you.
Alhamdulillah. You had an excellent presentation, you and Brother Suja are making this evening.
Yes, sir. All right, bro.
You know, about the last thing you were saying about the leaders. That's the problem. Leaders not saying anything. And people basically follow their leader.
Yes.
With their local leader, others that they know, but they're not supporting the leader.
Yes.
The leader that God gave us. Because many of us who are in the faith experience, you know, you hear the minister say, and I don't know what I would do without the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that's sunk deep into us. That's right. If they're saying that, and they were the ministers, the leaders, mm-hmm. they said they didn't know what they would do without the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And then we heard the word that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had passed. That's the one thing came to our thoughts then. What are we going to do now? We were thinking that we thought that he's going to live to be 125 years old at least. And now we got the word that he had passed, and we didn't know what we was going to do. I remember we was getting ready to go to Sage's Day the next day, 1975. We had gone out into the field to do things we had to do. And the first place we got to, the man told us, he said, did you hear the news that you guys know that passed? So that was kind of a real surprise to us, you know. because this was in prison that he had he didn't have a lot of good upstanding in the neighborhood. So anyway, we said if this devil would say anything, you know, he would put a lie like that on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we left there, going to another place, and we got this next stop, and this was a portion of a main like a center, the senior citizen, the pioneer, and all the people. You know, when they were serving dinners on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we got there. First, they had a good reputation, you know, because they had a community working in a senior citizens place, taking care of senior citizens and feeding them, had activities and all this going on. They first had a good name. So when they got there, and she told us, she apologized and said, "I'm so sorry, you're analyzing on that task." And we say, you know, now we're taking another look at this. Because anyway, the first thing we do when you're out in the field like this, you'll call back to your headquarters or wherever you're working in your temple at that time. You'll call back and find out what's the latest information on that, because people are talking about Elijah Muhammad in the past. Saying we're told, wherever you are, you know, come out of the field now. Come back to your temple or your place of business or wherever you is. Come out of the field now. So this is a serious time, and we just heard. So that's the first thing we did. We cut everything else. We came straight back to where we're supposed to go to. And that's where we start giving. It was true. But anyway, our plans are already made to get on the plane and go into Chicago. But, you know, for the Savior's Day, Man Muhammad is now he's the new leader. Want to hear what he has to say. And that's why he got on a plane and everything and went on to Chicago. And brother.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
You were there?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You were there. So all the people, everybody had come from everywhere that could get to Chicago. Yes. And the man came on, they lifted him up on his shoulder. The man starts preaching first. Started teaching. I think he started with Surah 7. Does man think that he been left alone? And that's what he started teaching. I know we haven't sinned ourselves, sinned myself. You know, first time I heard him, man, before that happened, because he came to New York in January. January 1975. He had came because he was making his rounds. Knowing that his father would be passing soon, he was traveling around the country, making his stops. And when he came to Temple Number 7 here in New York, on 16th Street, thinking, I'm saying to myself, now he, you know, he sounds like he's the leader. He's talking all right like he's the leader. I'm thinking like that to myself. I said, now if anybody thought you were thinking like that, because Elijah Muhammad is the leader. But anyway, the man starts speaking and teaching. They lift him up on his shoulder and, well, that was someday. So we got on the plane and came back to New York, and then the man came. He started changing things immediately, you know. So if I'm talking too long, you go ahead and stop me.
No, you're saying something great.
Yeah. The first thing he did, the man, he took the chairs out the temple.
Yeah.
I mean, that was surprising. That was kind of new. I thought we were used to sitting on the tables. Now we got to sit on the floor. Our bodies, we weren't used to this except those who were doing exercise and things like that. But the majority, that was something new sitting on the floor. And the man was teaching me, he started teaching me, I was taking 3, 4, 5 hours, man. I mean,
yeah.
And then he opened the doors. He said, now we're going to mainstream religion. Now he opened the doors to everybody. So it doesn't matter what your race, religion, your ethnic group, or your complexion, anything like that. Muslim, everybody, doors open to everybody. Boy, I mean, that was something else too. So, man, just making a change. He started moving people around. Had someone to come out to Chicago, move another person to New York area, someone who would sit down Yeah, the man was here. I mean, he changed things so fast. I mean, that
yes,
was,
he did.
Brother, I mean, that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. See, the new leader. And we started getting into what we call New York here. It was I think we call it was the indoctrination or, but it was getting us used to the new way. You know, bringing us out of the old way that we had been taught, we had been taught in the first experience, bringing us to this new way. We have some people in the community that understood pretty well. They was had orientation classes, getting into the new way. I mean, we were saying, we were learning about, about the Quran and how to make the prayers. And I mean, we were learning so much on this new way, but it was a great day. It was a great day. Baby, to Allah. Now I want to say we are into a situation now. Someone said years ago about it's an inside job. And most times it is an inside job. It's the infiltrators, the hypocrites, the liars, those who are not with it. That's that inside jobs come about. So things start happening inside, but you can't see it. It's like a sore. It's something you don't know what's going on, or a disease in your body. You don't know that you got a problem going on your arm and leg, whatever, until you see the pus rise up. And now once you squeeze that out, and then everything starts healing. Almost you get relief already. Once you get that inflammation out of your system, out of your arm, and you start getting healing already. Same thing with any other disease. You don't know it until you go to the doctor one day, you see all these problems going on, symptoms. They tell you, you got tuberculosis, you got cancer, whatever. This is going on inside of you, and you didn't know it, but you couldn't see in there. So you get to the doctor, and they put the x-ray and everything, and now you see. It's an inside job. They're working on the inside of you before you saw it and got the symptom. The same thing happened in our community. It's the leader. That's the same, the leadership. The leadership is not saying anything. They know where the problem is. They don't say anything. They don't be coming out of the messages and teaching and doing what the Dawah team is doing. They don't come out, all they do is sit inside and don't say a word of what's going on. And they know where the corruption is. They know where the hypocrites are. They know all these things, but they're not saying anything. So we have to keep on talking, doing what we're doing. We can't depend on everybody to come. That's, it never did happen that way, no time in history when all the people came. It's always been only a few that's really with the community and which makes the change. It had never been before with a whole lot of people. So we have to stop waiting on everybody else to come. Once that group, well, all I say is a group of you come together, believing men and women of action, believing men and women of action come together. Maybe only a hand for you, full of you, but Allah is with us. Allah is with us. We are going to win. We're going to be successful. Or some of those people that they're working for, they are going to start dropping them. Sometimes we don't even say anything to the ones that's giving us a problem because they're on the payroll. They got contracts. If they start talking against the way we're talking, then that boss will tell them, John or Rob, whoever you're next, you got a contract coming up in 6 months or a year, and they leave it just like that. So nothing else. But if you go against anything we're saying, you're just talking to talk that the Dawah team and other people are talking, then you're not going to get that contract. And you're going to lose that big house, and they'll find cars, a big bank account, all that. So you're going to lose all of that. You're not going to get us a new contract. And now they got too messy. They are built up on somebody else, and now they're too afraid to speak the truth. They won't say nothing. But they're going to be the losers.
They're going to be the big losers. That's right.
Big losers. All right. Okay, but for you, brother.
Thank you for me, Allah. Then you bless you. Please come back. I enjoyed that. Thank you. You hit the head, nail right on the head. Thank you so much.
All praise be to Allah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I still got someone working here at my house, so I'll just be listening from now on. Okay.
A lot, like, bro. Thank you. Please do.
You're
okay, going to bring Muhammad Kalama, Georgia. I'm going to lay some Brother Muhammad from Kalama, Georgia.
Well, alaykum as-salam. Udubillahi min shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashadu wa la ilaha illallah. Ashadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah as always. Bless us with life and permission to be on this message of concern. And we thank Allah for all of you who are in the queue and out of the queue. And we pray Allah that we all will understand that we are experiencing this by His permission. So there's a lesson for us to learn. So inshallah, we pray Allah that we are open to that lesson. You are always teaching and giving us through your mercy down upon us and all of creation. And just like the brother was saying, you have an opportunity now in the Muslim Journal to come, and I said, not you, we have an opportunity to come, to voice our concern. This is a sure meeting. They're trying to make it sound like nobody can come, but anybody can come. And all the imams in our national section of imams, are they coming to Shura to talk about our future and making decisions on an influence that we're going to have to deal with one way or the other? Because they are, and if all of them show up, there'll be well over 300 to 400 imams from all of the 6 sections of imams in our community here in the United States of America. Of course, you know a lot of our imams not going to show up, but just like you said, a lot of them are not ready to deal with the responsibility of leaving this influence of this world and all that it has given them, like the Muslims did there, strong supporters too, all the way up until it was time to make Hijra. They couldn't let their businesses, they couldn't let their cattle, they couldn't see leaving behind what the world had gave them of the Jahiliyyah. They could not see leaving it. So all we're doing is seeing what the world calls history repeating itself. But all we really are seeing is what Allah says of the Quran. It repeats itself. It shows you over and over again the correct way and what's happening to you on any other way that you choose. You'll see the outcome of it. He said, look at it. Look at what those before who had revelation. And how they deviated and the way of life they had to live because of it. That goes for us too. So there's a chance on October the 20th, it's in the Muslim Journal, for anybody, Lifeline, whatever line you're on, whatever blog program you're on, if you are an imam, any imam, be it an imam in your house or an imam who's been given the title of imam and he accepted it, you should be there on October the 20th, to strengthen your position, your office, authority that Allah has given you. And people who call you imam have also gave you that authority. To pray for them, to teach them al-Islam, to teach them all the departments of al-Islam. The 5 prayers, the articles of faith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And also it is giving you the right to question each other. All believers, and especially those who are in different positions of responsibility, you have the right to question each other, and we all have a right to question each other, see our loyalty, if our deeds and actions are not in accord with that. So we have an opportunity. And this sure thing is coming on in October 20th in Florida that's advertised in the Muslim Journal. Why do you think it's in the Muslim Journal? It's in there for many reasons. But Allah said he's the best of planet. He got it in there. So that we all will never have an excuse. Or we'll find out what the excuse is of why Shaitan is distracting us. Making us sidetrack each other, not love one another, not talk to each other, not build with each other, not spend with each other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have to pay attention to the signs that Allah gives the human family if you believe that there is no God but Him. using that helmet very loosely. And that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the example of the worship to Allah, his creator, for all time to come. He is the best example. So we have a chance to question each other. And every day you have a chance to question your imam over you and the imam that you are. Why am I not going to do what I say out my mouth? Why am I not doing it? Why am I not going to see what is the hell is wrong with leadership and ask them to their face, look them in their eye, and say, why are you not supporting this? Why are our schools like this? Why do y'all have money and y'all not spending it, a portion of it, in the way of Allah, and since he gave it to you? Why are you not helping to establish this model community, and you making a couple $100,000 a year, $1 million a year, $70 a week, $150 a week? It don't make no difference what you make. Why are you not spending it, feasibility law, over and above what you need to feed your family, feed yourself, and prepare yourself ready to go the next day to work for your creator? The other, the worldly job or the worldly responsibility is secondary after the establishment of al-Islam. All those imams who have, knowingly or unknowingly, because we know that 20% of them are free from the influence of the 80% that rejected leadership, but they still are not calling for sure. So that they can get those who believe, give them the opportunity to lead those who disbelieve, to lead those hypocrites among us, those wrongdoers among us, those hoarders, those extravagant people amongst us, like the king of Saudi Arabia, like those over there who call themselves Muslim in Dubai, going to build a 200-foot building, and then won't even build a school, unless it's a cultural, selfish school that doesn't exist in Al-Islam. Why are we here in America? Got all this money in our community, and as well as the Muslim community, and those the Ansar community, because there's a lot of people who ain't Muslims wanting to help us. But Shaitan is holding them back too, because of their false worship. And they don't see us helping them get rid of what they say and they know is their problem, false worship. Artificial life. They know they are just as vulnerable to a homosexual knocking on their door and picking up their daughter, or a homosexual man, their son, and they might not be able to do nothing about it because they haven't said anything, like Brother Sharif said. They ain't saying nothing. But those of us who have any kind of dhikr, and you have taqwa too, being regardful that you know that Allah wanted us to think about him and everything that we do and base our decision and support on that. But you have to start off with talking to each other. All the complaints that we share with each other every day, we need to ask those who we're talking about, ask them to their face, even if you had to go to their masjid in front of their community and ask them, are you or are you not a believer in the Quran, in Allah? Are you or are you not trying to establish and accept his favor from Allah? Are you not, with the best of your human ability, putting your footsteps in the footsteps of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And let him answer that question. Why are you not doing this? Why do you want us to pay you, but you don't want to pay Allah? And he's the one that we all owe a debt to. Time we need to look at what we say. How is it that Allah said, who would live, be a beautiful Lord, but yet still we are in debt to him? Think about that. Why do we owe Allah a debt when he's asking us for a loan? It's something to ponder. But most important thing is we need to go ahead on and ask these imams, secretaries, these treasurers. You know, if you have any doubt in your mind, what is going on? Why do we have so many rich people in our community, some kind of way to education, and we ain't got but 12 or 11 schools? We need to start off with every imam, every responsible Muslim who has more than you. Because you have a right to ask your brother, why come you don't love me like I love you, and why come you not won't let me love you for you what you love for yourself? Why is it always giving, 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 giving from the poor, and the rich don't give nothing back in not only our society now, but any society? We got more rich Muslims in America who makes over $60,000 or $70,000 a year than we do those who make less than that. Why aren't the middle class, the high class, or whatever you want to call it, using this English language and comparison to the dunya? Why come they're not spinning? Why come the doctors come to the masjid and maybe once a month, or maybe they walk out or they give some money in charity, alhamdulillah, in secret with the imam or the treasurer, but they don't make an effort to say, do y'all want a school? I remember some masjids I went to, I stood up and said, I'll pay for the carpet. I'll pay for this. Some other Muslims said that I'll pay it. And we moved from one masjid to the next one in 30 days. And then we went to the next project. And the next project. But those of us who are on this plane that we're on, where we are telling the truth, I mean, we really tell the truth about what our leadership is doing. But it's only fair to them if we ask them, why are you doing that? So we can start finding out who are the believers. And don't become like what we are accusing people of being. If you're an imam and you got hypocrites and wrongdoing going on underneath your authority and you ain't saying nothing about it, we don't want to become like that neither. And we see the same thing and don't say nothing. One for your brother, one for yourself. If you want justice, do justice. If you want truth, live truth. That goes for all of us. Because remember, we're still in a society where Allah told us to come out the first time we read the Quran. Any new shahada who read the Quran for a whole year, especially during the month of Ramadan, know Allah said, let there come out of you a band of people wherever you came from. If you're still in that same world, come out of it and establish and build your share of the duty. And not be crying and complaining about it or going to the same people who are not your brothers in faith. What other about going to an interfaith dialogue and every other religious person there is a homosexual or drinks or smoke, like we see in Catholics and all kinds of other people of religion do? Jews selling pork, talking about this kosher. I'm a witness. I ran a meat packing company owned by Jews until I found out they was putting not plastic cake, or some other kind of plant cake. They wrapped their sausage in pig skin. Everybody's going to stay wrong if they in this environment that God had a son. And he's a white man. There's nothing right in this society right here. That's why Allah said, come out of it. And this is why he's giving us a favor. Allah. This is why he's giving us a new faith, us a new people. This is why he's giving us a new world to build. There ain't no good in this world here, but we don't have to act like we crazy like they do. All we do is going about our business. You be your way, and we be ours. Quit telling the brother just because he's black, he your brother, when he eat pork, smoke dope, believe that the white man is the devil. Believe the white man is God's son. Quit being phony. That's why flattery is not Islam. It can be sometimes a sin. When you going along with somebody and they wrong, standards are on. Allah says, save your own soul first. Don't you know that it's hinted there, because the truth don't never change that Allah sent to the human being. But in the Quran, Allah tells us specifically, save your own soul first. not the Christian, not the Jew, not the Hindu. And then he said, then save your family, your loved ones, then your community, etc. Before you even think about going and offering love to someone who hates you. Because of how much you done told him, he or she still will not leave that perimeter of homosexuality, drugs, alcohol. Their vote is for drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, everything against what your Islamic children, using that terminology, your halal children and yourself, because of how nice they are to you. Some of them might even die for you. But if they had a choice between our way and their way, they're going to choose their way. Because only Allah makes Muslims, not us. Go ask them imams talking about it. Go ask each other. Why are you following that imam when that imam don't even want to talk to the imam two or three states away? Why your imam want to be a dictator of you? He said, this is my masjid. This is my community. Really? That ain't no different than Saudi Arabia said, if you're born in Saudi Arabia, you are my people. You belong to me. Same way by Kuwaiti, Dubai, Africa. You born in a country, you are Kenyan. You're Nigerian. You're a Liberian. Just by birth, you don't have no say-so either at all. How in the world can we go along with that type of concept? When we supposed to be born, our children are supposed to be born free. It don't make a difference where they are on this earth. When they are born, they supposed to have, or we supposed to have the understanding with that society that we believe and that we belong to nothing but Allah. We don't even belong to Prophet Muhammad. We belong to Allah and Allah alone. So if we believe on whatever level of belief you believe on, live it. Live it. And you'll find that Allah will expedite. He will give you the same ascension experience that Prophet Muhammad had, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you'll come back free from all the influences of the world that you came from when Allah gave you your life back. This is not difficult. We're talking so much clear truth. We've been talking it every time you recite the Quran, every time you recite authentic hadith. And they done messed over what Imam Muhammad said so much. Our new children under 50 might not know what to believe. They done heard us say so many things about what Imam Muhammad say, but it still ain't nobody living it. And the younger they get, the more they get more confused. 30-year-old Muslim down there, been born a Muslim. Been born and told that he's in the community of possibility of being one of the people who have been born in the environment of the Mujahideen, in the time of revival of the truth. And then he can't believe a word anybody say. He go up to his imam, those same imams that we're talking about, and ask him about why come we don't have a school, why we don't have zakat established, regardless of knowing, why come we don't have it so that we can have something that is going to give us, like Imam was in the process of giving them when he established mosque cares by Allah's position. And those 80% rebelled because they did not want any authority over them, not when they was whatever Shaitan is telling them. They want to be in charge of people and run people's lives, and they get the benefit from it, and they don't. We are following the same pattern of the world who is our enemy. And we don't know that because we haven't left it yet. Until we get our spirit, our intellect, our emotions, our businesses, our ideas, out of this influence of the United States of America, the Christian community, the Christian world, we will continue to come up short. Look how Imam Muhammad said. Imam Muhammad said, when they go home and put their 2% on it, You think about it. He said, y'all are 97% almost right. But these imams are coming back home and giving you them put their two cents in on it. Or put their twist on it. Now you still got to wait till another time. Like I said again, they got people planning to be alive for 50 years like this right here, not having an Islamic community, not having the community of Imam Muhammad, a legal entity in the United States of America, not having a halal community. Until then, 50 years from now, do you know how many of us would be died by Allah's will, Allah best know, or how many of our children be done died? How much more are we lost? We might not have no school. Because ain't nobody spending no money. None of the teachers, none of the authors, none of the writers, none of the professors, none of the scholars are spending any money to establish an Islamic institution. In America, where our children can go to school anywhere in these 50 states because there's an Islamic, not only a elementary or high school, but we should have high learning colleges that's teaching only the Quran and life, okay, and the life of Prophet Muhammad and not some school of thought.
In closing,
warning to you, that meeting in October the 20th, those imams that you're talking about, 80% of them, we don't know who they are, but they're talking about saying they're going to develop on how to go about developing a meth app of Imam W. Muhammad. No, Imam Muhammad is not even here to defend himself and tell them, hey, if you're going to have a school of thought, be it the thought and school of Prophet Muhammad, not of me, not of him, not of them. Just want to say that. Thank you, Brother Akbar. She cried a lot.
Bring Brother Suja up and then I'll bring Sister Hayalala. Let Suja bring Sister Hayalala up and let her give us some poems or some of her thoughts for the day. And inshallah. So let me say this right quick. We invite all people to come hear the truth, and they got a right to reject it or not. Allah makes the decision who become a Muslim or who, or he'll make a decision who become a Christian. And Allah said, be Muslim, Jew, or Christian, our reward is with God. And Allah know who that is. So we can't condemn everybody. We have to first, the truth will set us free. That means all of us. Some of us going to be better Christian than we're going to be better Jews. Some of us be better Jews than they can be Christian. But everybody, Allah said he created everybody to meet his will. And if they submit to his will and not doing what they're supposed to, then that is on there between them and Allah. And Allah knows who that is. So we'll bring Brother Suja up, back up, and add to this great conversation that we're having. And when the new people come, they're coming, we want to be able to invite them in and not say that they ain't going to do this, they ain't going to do it. On our lot, no way anybody's going to do. Brother Suja, you there? As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. Brother Suja. As-salamu alaykum. Unmute your mic. Well, Sister Hayalala, you got it. I want you to come up and start saying some of them beautiful poems with us. I want to hear from you, Hayalala. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We need to hear
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. You got it, Sister La.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. I'd like to mention this. Inshallah, Sunday, October 7th, would be Honorable Elijah Muhammad's birthday. I'm not sure how old he would be, but alhamdulillah. And I have a shingles treatment. And I don't know if any of y'all have shingles, but you know you might need to, because Sister Maddie always talking about that, shingles. But however, this is what it is. It's a shingles treatment create a paste using cornstarch or baking soda and water to naturally relieve itching caused by a shingles rash. Pour 2 parts cornstarch or baking soda into a cup. Add 1 part water to get to the desired consistency for the paste. Apply the mixture to your rash. Rinse it off after 10 to 15 minutes. Repeat several times a day as needed. Scratching a shingle rash can cause scarring and prolonged blisters. If itching doesn't improve after a healing bath, a cool compress or a baking soda or cornstarch mixture using soothing lotion and creams. Avoid scented or perfumed lotions. They can cause further irritation. Use lotion and creams sparingly. Heavy application can keep sores from drying out and lengthen the healing process. For the same reason, don't use antibiotic ointments on the sores. This shingle treatment was in the that comes on Sunday with Sister Petra. She had a study hour Islam. Thank you, honey. She had a sister that came on. Her name is Dr. Barbara, and I don't see the other name in front of me. But her anyway, this is her recommendation. And my cousin had shingles, and she said it like it drove her nuts. She, you know, so it comes around about in your 60s and 70s and whatnot. So, you know, once you start, if you see something, I think you need to react on it right away because you don't know what shingles look like, but it says it's like a pus-like sore, but it's very painful. Alhamdulillah, I'd just like to share that with you all. And if you didn't get that, you can. I can be called at 718-344-4805. Or my husband's number is 718-344-4798. And that's the Mubarak. Okay, here's another one. Okay, that's that announcement. And okay, I'm saying, let me read this one here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Never lose hope and trust in the power of dua. Allah will grant you everything you want as long as it's good for you. So you know what that's saying. If it's not good for you, you won't get it. Alhamdulillah. Okay, and I'd like to share this one here. This says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I love you. I know you will be in you. Means so much to me. I try to get close to you, but you seem to be looking elsewhere. The more I give you my attention, you think about someone else. My heart pains when I call and no one answers. I try to give myself to you, but you seem not to be ready. Please let me love you. It's me, Quran. Every day you open your inbox to read messages from your friends. But how many times do you open to read messages from Allah contained in me? Please read this to the end. My name is Quran. You hardly have time for me. I love you and will intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah. I am always neglected by you. I need you to spend 30 minutes of your time with me every day, minimum today. I want this message across the world before midnight. Will you help in spreading as a result, creating awareness about me? I love you. Seriously. Amen, amen, amen. Alhamdulillah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Also, there was a time when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah have mercy on his soul, on the High Station in Paradise, had passed away in New York. My friend was practicing Islam, and well, not Islam of today, but at the time, the first. And so, as she was practicing it, and once he passed, her and her husband and a brother Muhammad may know them. His name was Thomas Workman, tall, slim brother. And they were, you know, in the deen at the time. But now the sister, she don't want no parts of Islam. And I said, you know, that saddens me because you were telling me to come on in, come on in. And I was telling you, you know, I wasn't ready at the time because I didn't believe that a man was our creator. So that's what kept me from coming into the deen. But today she went back to the church. So, you know, I, as I told her, I said, you know, that saddens me because, you know, you should know better. Because the church don't have nothing for you, not what we got, you know. So, you know, alhamdulillah, we make dua for her that she will return to the church. Alhamdulillah, return to our Islam. Alhamdulillah. Okay, I'm going to read a couple more. Life is a test. If Allah answers your prayers, he is increasing your faith. If he delays, he is increasing your patience. If he does not answer, he has something better for you. May Allah grant us sabra to deal with difficult times. Amen, 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 amen. What's that, my brother? Are y'all ready for Shuja?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. And Allah, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. If you are grateful, I will give you more. That's Surah Ibrahim, verse 7. Alhamdulillah, Rahman, Rahim. And here's another one. Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. G is my boss, and I'm his employee. I am very thankful for my everyday salary called life, with benefits called blessings, and a reward called eternal life. This one would be for Juma tomorrow, inshallah. Salatu Juma, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. May the light of Juma shine in your house. The strength of Iman stay in your heart. And may Allah shower his countless blessings in you and your family, on you and your family on this day, on this holy day, subhanAllah. Amen. 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 Got another one. Got a dua here. Bismillah. Ya Allah. Grant a good end to all our affairs and save us from humiliation of the world and the torment of the hereafter. Accept our prayers. Make what is coming better than what passed. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen,
amen.
Amen, amen. Yes, yes, yes. And let's see here, what we got here. I'll see another one. Okay, this is pretty much an announcement. I haven't given it to Benjamin yet, but this is an announcement. It says, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, peace be upon you. We at Yusuf Shah Islamic Center, located 10 South 2nd Avenue, Mount Vernon, New York, 10550. We need your financial support for our potential relocation to our new address, which is going to be at 208 North 5th Avenue, Mount Vernon, New York, same old zip. All contribution are tax deductible and are acceptable utilizing the following updated information. We're going to have Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, check or money order, and the imam is Imam Musa Y. Abdullah Ali. Alhamdulillah. He can be reached at 347 360-7737. And again, Brother Muhammad from New York is a member of this here masjid. Alhamdulillah, Iraqi Alameen. I've been there several times myself. Alhamdulillah. So we got to help one another. We got to help one another. Also, my husband and I, we intend, inshallah, to go to Florida to the Florence conference that Brother Imam Muhammad from Columbus was just talking about. And, okay, I'd like to share this one here. Alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, place in my heart light in my tongue. Place light in my hearing. Place light in my eyesight. Place light behind me and light in front of me. And place light above me and light below me. Oh Allah, grant me life. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes, yes, yes.
Always.
Yes, yes, yes. Alhamdulillah. Hello.
Yeah. If everything go all right, me and my wife will be going down ourselves to the Imam meeting. We want to see what the community leaders are offering the community.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it should be a good turnout because they you know, they are giving us ample time, but there's also other few functions that's going on here in October as well here in Georgia, and then we have some in North Carolina. I think there's a program, I don't have it in front of me, there's a program going on in Raleigh, North Carolina. Let me see if I can find it. Raleigh, North Carolina this month, October. Oh, okay. I'm not looking at it. I'm just trying to remember it. But, you know, with the few that's going on, we just have to pick the ones that, you know, we prefer to go to. But there's a lot going on, You know, Allah Akbar, Allah's in charge.
Allah Akbar. Thank you.
Allah Akbar. Well, you're welcome.
Well, let me see. Suja, are you on? Suja.
But he's probably napping.
He probably might be napping. Let me bring my brother Amin up. Assalamualaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. 1 second, trying to get it going. Yes, sir. Can you hear me? Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
We hear you.
Alhamdulillah. We're coming down about the end of the day. It's about going on 6 o'clock out here in California. I'm still running with my auntie. I'm going to get some medicine for her, some Eliquis. You know, this stuff costs $500-something a month.
Ooh, what?
A thirty day supply of this blood thinner. Cost $500-something about $573. Ain't that something?
Blood thinner.
Yeah.
My wife.
Yeah, blood thinner. It's called Eliquis.
Eliquis. You know, brother, if you're familiar with Express Script, they can probably give that to you for a little less.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Well, what's the name of it?
It's the company is Express Script. And their price is real decent.
Could you text that to me? Get my number and
text
it to me? You know,
yes,
if you go
sir.
To Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School, you see my contact information.
Yes, sir.
This is Claire Muhammad STEM School, and I pass it along.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, $500-something a month. I'm walking in here now. Yes. But for crazy to allow, you know, we're going to talk reparations at 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock y'all time, 6 o'clock here.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk a little bit more about Robert Smith and Robert Johnson. Big people, big rich people talking about reparations. You know what I mean? And they got strategies and they got plans, and you know, any the thing, any Caucasian
who say anything about, no, you don't deserve no reparations, is insane.
Mm-hmm.
They're racist and insane.
Mm-hmm.
They are automatically out of their mind. And we got to tell them that. When they say that, you are out of your mind. 250 years of slavery, 95 years of Jim Crow, 65 years of separate 35 years of state-sanctioned redlining, you know, mm-hmm. all the lynchings and everything. And they got the wealth gap is 10 to 1. You know what I mean? They're insane. And you got to tell them that. They say, no, you know, you need a doctor. You need a doctor, a senator, or whoever. You see what I mean? But one good thing I did hear, it's a city or city in the South, in North Carolina. I got to look it up. That one of the cities is adopted reparations. Like, little they talking about it. And I think it's the first city in the South. So we, you know, need to reach out and find out what's that city and the city council and the brothers and sisters who are in charge and support them. Give them a call. Hey, say, hey, you know, we with you. We pray for you. You know what I mean? And you know, if anything you need, here's our phone number. And, you know what I mean? And say, you know, we're going to spread the word. We're on the radio. And we're going to tell everybody that North Carolina, this, I'm going to look it up. Tomorrow, because I did mention this yesterday, and I didn't really know. But we're going to find out the exact city and the people who are there. So, alhamdulillah. So, I see y'all at 9 o'clock. So let me take care of this business. Assalamu alaikum. Thanks a lot, Brother Akbar. Thank you.
Well, they got the lamb. Alhamdulillah. I'm not white, but. Well, I'm going to bring the. Okay. Alhamdulillah, Brother Suja, are you back? Brother Muhammad Sharif got people working in his house, so I know he won't be able to come back. Not right now. So we're gonna read this right quickly from the Quran. Allah says, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. He says, Surah 68, the pen and Noah. Al-Qalan, Al-Alam, Surah 68, the pen of Noah, verses, verily for thy righteousness are gardens of delight in the presence of thy Lord. Surely, now this is Ayat 64 to Ayat 36. Shall we then treat a people of faith? You are building a couch with God account. What is the matter with you? Have judged he. How you judge he. So the way we judge ourselves, we should thank Allah that he has made us and guide us to the word Muslim. And the word Muslim only means one who submits his will to do the will of God. Now, Allah knows who that is. You know, you can't look at nobody, and none of us have the power to look at anybody and say, that's a Muslim. Allah said everything he created to submit to his will. But because we fall into the wrong environment, that environment helped lead us away from the best life that God wants us to have. Like the sister was saying, that was a brother that brought me into the masjid. And he left. He believed that Elijah Muhammad, after he died, that he wasn't dead. So he left the community. He couldn't work with the imam. The imam was a sellout. And I didn't argue with him. I didn't told him that I'm going to follow Imam W. Muhammad. If you're going to follow Elijah and he's dead, then where is your faith at? All of us going to die. We come here to die.
Now, Imam said there's a life after death. Elijah said there's no life after death, but Elijah was wise. He said there's no life after death, but in case there is life after death, the life we live in that he have chose, gave us, will get us in paradise. That's what he said. Why we get in the paradise? Because we were decent people. We were people that wanted, had good morals. We were people that wanted to treat everybody right. We didn't. We were told not to even carrying a pen knife. We were people that stood for what is right and stand up for it. Even though we might lose our life or lose our job or lose our family, we stood up for truth. Many of us didn't have to be sacrificed. Many of them didn't have to happen to us. We stood up. Stood up against the forces of evil like the police department. That what brought me into the masjid. The brother stood up downtown. One brother lost his life, but also a Caucasian police lost his life. He lost his life. So the book was being fulfilled, eye for eye, a tooth for a tooth. He lost his life. And the judge found most of the Caucasian jurors found the Muslim brothers not guilty. They didn't want to even come on TV and make that announcement. They didn't even talk about that. So nobody going to love us because we said we believe in Allah in the last days. And you explain to people what we believe, the only reason they can't understand that, the long one standing there, Allah got a cover, a shield over their heart and their mind. And they wondering throughout the world, blind, deaf, and dumb. So Allah said he loved those of us who do right. So we on the right track. We're doing what Allah has instructed us to do. Brother Sujar, are you still there? I guess he might have dozed off. Anyway, so Allah telling us in the pen, and then tell us that all the oceans with ink, and add another ocean, and then all the trees became pencils. You will never be able to exalt this book. Our people need to hear that. They need to hear what it says that. Is all the, no leaves fall off a tree or leave that tree without getting God's permission. That's a powerful thing that Almighty God do not let the leaf fall off. And you know how many trees all over this planet Earth? So many of them. And a leaf or pine cone or nothing leave that tree without getting Allah's permission. That is power. But you have to give the people that so they can think it over. And we need to think it over. So I'm going to let Sister, if she don't mind, Sister Haji Lala come back and give us another poem, then close us out with a prayer, if she don't mind. Sister Haji Lala, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum, yes, sir. Let's see. Okay, let's see. I have to my family and friends. Sometimes I forget to tell you how much I love you. Thank you for being in my life. You are special to me. Big hugs. I mean. Okay. Should I close out or?
We got a chance for another poem.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, this says, Assalamu alaikum, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A blessing from the Almighty Allah for you. May your day be blessed with happiness and peace of mind. May you be free of all burdens. And note, you are completely cared for. Let angels light your way with grace and have a beautiful, awesome night. Ameen. Wishing you a blessing.
Ameen.
Ameen. Okay. Should I close out or one more?
You got one more, yes, ma'am.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Prayer is an amazing exchange. You hand over your worries to Allah, and Allah hands over his blessings to you. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank everyone for showing up tonight. Allah bless us all. It's Ramadan Mubarak.
No.
I mean, Juma Mubarak. May Allah bless us with a blessed Juma tomorrow and bless us with a great night of rest. And may Allah protect us until we all come together again, inshallah. Thank you for listening. I greet you again in the greatest greeting of all the Assalamu alaikum. Amen. God, Allah, peace be on all of us. Amen.
Amen. Remember Allah, Allah, remember you.
You hang up. Call right back in if you want to. You can stay on the line. They'll be coming up. Mm-hmm. And they got to hang up and come back in. Okay, then. Assalamu alaikum.